Translation. Thus, because Lord Brahma wanted to mystify the all-pervading Lord Krishna, who can never be mystified, but who, on the contrary, mystifies the entire universe, he himself was put into bewilderment by his own mystic power, purported by his divine grace Srila Prabhupada, Jaya Srila Prabhupada. Brahma wanted to bewilder Krishna, who bewilders the entire universe. The whole universe is under Krishna's mystic power, mama maya duratyaya. But Brahma wanted to mystify him. The result was that Brahma himself was mystified. Just as one who wants to kill another may himself be killed. In other words, Brahma was defeated by his own attempt. In a similar position are the scientists and philosophers who want to overcome. Jai Shri Shri Radha, Gokulananda Bhagavan ki jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Brahma was defeated by his own attempt. In a similar position are the scientists and philosophers who want to overcome the mystic power of Krishna. They challenge Krishna, saying, "What is God? We can do this and we can do that." But the more they challenge Krishna in this way, the more they are implicated in suffering. The lesson here is that we should not try to overcome Krishna. Rather, instead of endeavoring to surpass him, we should surrender to him. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Instead of defeating Krishna, Brahma himself was defeated, for he could not understand what Krishna was doing. Since Brahma, the chief person within this universe, was so bewildered, what is to be said of so-called scientists and philosophers? Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. We should give up our tiny efforts to mystify. There's an announcement.
Krishna, there's a gray BMW parked by a tennis court car park, plate number HV03WVX. It needs to be moved immediately to the closest car park. Thank you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. We should give up all our tiny efforts to defy the arrangement of Krishna. Instead, whatever arrangement he proposes, we should accept. This is always better, for this will make us happy. The more we try to defeat the arrangement of Krishna, the more we become implicated in Krishna's maya. Daivi hi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. But one who has reached the point of surrendering to the instruction of Krishna, mam eva ye prapadyante, is liberated. Free from Krishna maya, mayam etam tarantite. The power of Krishna is just like the government that cannot be overcome. First of all, there are laws, and then there is a police force, and beyond that is military power. Therefore, what is the use of trying to overcome the power of the government? Similarly, what is the use of trying to challenge Krishna? From this verse, it is clear that Krishna cannot be defeated by any kind of mystic power. If one gets even a little power of scientific knowledge, one tries to defy God. But actually, no one is able to bewilder Krishna. When Brahma, the chief person within the universe, tried to bewilder Krishna, he himself was bewildered and astonished. This is the position of the conditioned soul. Brahma wanted to mystify Krishna, but he himself was mystified. The word Vishnu is significant in this verse. Vishnu pervades the entire material world, whereas Brahma merely occupies one subordinate position. Yasyai karnis varshita kalam athavalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadanda nathaha. This is Brahma Samhita 5.48. The word nathaha, which refers to Lord Brahma, is plural because there are innumerable universes and innumerable Brahmas. Brahma is but a tiny force. This was exhibited in Dwarka when Krishna called for Brahma. One day when Brahma came to see Krishna at Dwarka, the doorman at Lord Krishna's request asked, "Which Brahma are you?" Later, when that Brahma inquired from Krishna whether that meant that there are more than one Brahma, Krishna smiled and at once called for many Brahmas from many universes. The four-headed Brahma of this universe then saw innumerable other Brahmas coming to see Krishna and offer their respects. Some of them had 10 heads, some had 20, some had 100, and some had 1,000,000 heads. Upon seeing this wonderful exhibition, the four-headed Brahma became nervous and began to think of himself as no more than a mosquito in the midst of many elephants. Therefore, what can Brahma do to bewilder Krishna? This ends the purport. Om. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Pri He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyai Vacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachari Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine So this is my first Bhagavatam class ever. So I'm really, I'm obviously very nervous. And as I entered, I felt like how, in this purport, Prabhupada explains how Brahma felt. He felt like a mosquito in front of all the elephants filled in the room. So similarly, that was my position, feeling like a mosquito in front of all of you, the elephant devotees. So I seek the blessings of all the devotees gathered here so that you can bless me and I can speak something meaningful to please you and to please the Lord. So this is such a wonderful purport that Prabhupada gives. And I thought that we can just go through each point that Prabhupada makes and try to go deeper into that. It seems that we have very limited time. So I think I'll just want to highlight few points which I thought was... which was striking for me. So here Srila Bhakti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, he elaborates on two words. First is Svaya Mayaya. He says that this is an external meaning of the word Svaya Mayaya. Svaya Mayaya means by his own energy, by his own mystic power. But here that is an external meaning. And he gives the he uses another word to explain it, which is vimohitaha. The V here means vishesha, mohita. Vishesha means in a very special way, Lord Brahma was bewildered. And in last week, Kartik Chandrababu was explaining that this Brahma was bewildered not by his own mystic power, but by the yoga maya power. So Krishna displayed his yoga maya power, mystic power, and that bewildered Lord Brahma. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that an illusion or maya cannot bewilder its shelter. So we can give an example. A magician is playing a trick on the audience. The magician himself doesn't get tricked by the same magic he's performing. So the magic tricks everyone, but the magic cannot trick the magician himself. So similarly, Svaya Maya means he cannot be bewildered by his own Maya. It is Krishna's Maya which is bewildering Brahma. So that was an interesting point. And this, in this purport, in this verse, Krishna is, this verse mentions how Krishna's mystic power is, in this verse, Krishna's mystic power is compared to Lord Brahma's mystic power, and how poorly Lord Brahma's mystic power is performing against Krishna. There is absolutely no match. So Lord Brahma is totally bewildered. He is totally defeated, and he is totally confused. And he comes to the realization that his own yogic power is absolutely no match to that of Lord Krishna. And Prabhupada says that Brahma wanted to bewilder Krishna, who bewilders the entire universe. So it is not easy to bewilder Brahma. Let us understand the position of Brahma. Brahma is the first living entity in this universe. He is a secondary creator. Goddess of fortune is under his control. He is the prime authority of Vedic knowledge. And he has the ability to put everybody in under illusion. And it's not ordinary. He's not an ordinary conditioned soul, as Prabhupada says. But in verse 15, Brahma, when he heard about how Krishna killed Akasura, he was amazed. And he felt that, I wanted to see more of Lord's power. So the intention was right, to see more of Lord's power, but the approach was wrong, where he wanted to use his own power against Krishna. We can learn from Shastra that how other devotees, when they want to know more about Krishna, how they approach. The example is there of Advaita Acharya in Chaitanya Bhagavat, where he wanted to understand this word, Sarvata Pani Pata Tat, which is everywhere. This is in Bhagavad Gita 13:14, where Advaita Acharya was, this verse means that everywhere is his hands and his hands and legs, his eyes, his head, his faces, his ears are everywhere. So he said, how could this relate to bhakti? How can I see it from bhakti perspective? How do we understand it from bhakti context? And he was so much perplexed by it, and he wanted to really get an answer. And he prayed to Lord Chaitanya. He prayed to the Lord, how do I understand this? And the way he approached this, he started fasting. He started performing austerities. That he said that I will not eat anything until I get an understanding from the bhakti perspective. So that is the right way to understand Krishna's glory, where we could surrender to Krishna's will, and we try to surrender to Krishna and beg and pray to Krishna to reveal himself so that we can understand him. So that was a wonderful example. And then Prabhupada gives an analogy that the result was that Brahma himself was mystified. Just as one who wants to kill another may kill himself. In other words, Brahma was defeated by his own attempt. So there is a pastime of Lord Chaitanya in Madhya Leela, in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, in the rescue of Kala Krishna Das. So when the Bhattaharis, the nomads, they took away Krishna Das, Lord Chaitanya came to rescue him. And when Lord Chaitanya came to rescue Kal Krishna Das, this Bhattaharis, the nomads, they attacked Lord Chaitanya. And what happened? The weapons, they escaped from the nomads' hand, and they started attacking back the nomads, and started chopping off their hands, their limbs, and from their bodies. So this is another example of when we try to use the knowledge or any power that Krishna has given against Krishna, that same power, same intelligence or whatever we have by Krishna's grace, that turns towards us. And then Prabhupada goes on to explain the example of, there is a similar position of scientists and philosophers. So scientists and philosophers, they want to overcome the mystic power of Krishna. They challenge Krishna. What is God? We can do this and we can do that. But the more they challenge Krishna in this way, the more they are implicated in suffering. So we see the scientists, the intention is good. They want to do good for the world. They want to find out what is the truth. But their whole approach is that they're getting more and more entangled, and that's causing more and more suffering. We can see all over the world there is trouble, and it's getting more and more complicated. You can see climate change. There is a problem with the medicine, with the antibiotics have stopped. People have started responding to antibiotics. And so many issues that we see in the world. And it's all coming out because of the advancement of the material science. So that is the impact. We can take the analogy of a spider. A spider weaves a web from his own saliva, and he creates this whole web. And it becomes a death trap for all the insects. Any insects who fall into it, the more the insect tries to escape from that web, by every attempt, it gets entangled. Because this is how the web works. The more it tries to escape, the more it gets entangled. And it becomes so entangled by its continuous effort to release himself that he becomes totally trapped and he becomes unmoved. He cannot move himself. And just waiting for the death, which is spider, to come and eat. So that is the end. So this is what we see with the scientists and the philosophers. The more the attempts they make to solve this problem, the more they're getting entangled, the more there is problem increasing in this world. So this is a lesson we can learn. Because this world, this universe, is coming from Krishna's body. And from the pores of Mahavishnu. And anyone, the only way we can escape, and everybody is getting entrapped in this world. Whether it's Lord Brahma, down to insignificant ant, everybody is entrapped. Nobody can escape. But one who takes shelter, as Prabhupada was explaining further in the purport, the only way to escape is to take shelter of Krishna. In the case of a spider, the whole insect world is getting entrapped by the web of the spider. But the only one who doesn't get entrapped is the offsprings of the spider. The offsprings of the spider, because they've acquired the quality of the spider, it can move freely within the web. There is no restriction for them. They are unaffected by the spider web. They are not entangled. But everybody else is entangled in the web. So similarly, if you have to be entangled in this material world, we can learn from that analogy that if we take shelter of Krishna, then automatically we become freed from entanglement of this material world. Mama maya duratyaya. So that is an example we can learn. And I think I'll just try to finish with one or two points. Regarding the scientist, last week Kartik Chandra Prabhu mentioned about the five types of maya, illusion creating potency. And I see that this modern world is in a very difficult position because of this illusion which is created by the scientist. The people in the modern world accept the reality presented by the scientist as a fact. So the reality presented by the scientist is that there is no life comes from matter, and then there is no God. Everything is coming by chance. So this is the illusion, and nobody can escape. Everyone is, it's so hard. And anybody who tries to defy that, they are ridiculed. You just cannot stand it. You're ridiculed if you try to present a Vedic view. For them, the Vedic version or the Vedic literature is a mythology. It's a myth. But the scientific view is a reality. So that is the position in the modern society. And it's so hard that everybody gets impacted. Even devotees get affected. We see in the pastime of the episode of Moon Landing, when Prabhupada's personal servant, the few other devotees, when Prabhupada challenged this modern, the scientific moon landing expedition, Prabhupada challenged that. Some of the devotees, they just could not accept, because they said, how can you speak against scientists? Because they are the truth, they speak the truth. It's very hard. Whenever scientific view, reality is presented against the Vedic view, the tendency is that scientific view is more correct, more real, because the way the modern education has been taught to us, it's very hard to escape that. It's deep in our psychology. And I can give my own example. When I was reading, initially when I joined Hare Krishna ISKCON, I was reading Bhagavad Gita, and I came across a verse of Bhagavad Gita where Prabhupada says against the view of modern science about the moon. one moon or many moons. So Prabhupada said there is only one moon. And I said, I was like repulsed by that when I read it. I said, I felt like just shutting off the book. How can Prabhupada speak that the scientist's view is wrong? The scientists, obviously, they have done research, they know what they are speaking. How can Prabhupada speak? And I was like about to close the book, but by Krishna's grace, I just felt maybe Prabhupada doesn't know about moon, but Prabhupada knows about Krishna. And let me read about Krishna, let me read about Bhagavad Gita. But just see, you can, my mind, the way it was working, and I see many people, you want to compartmentalize the Bhagavad Gita and the Vedic scriptures and the modern scientific view. These are two separate. And whenever it comes in contradiction or head to head, it's always the scientific view, maybe they are right. That is the psychology. I would just accept, my mentality was that Krishna and this Bhagavad Gita is very nice. It makes us feel good. So we should read it. But the real truth is the scientist, because they know the real truth, not the Vedic. So this is the illusion that the scientist has created. And we should be very careful. And I came to this, I was safe from this, I was carrying on with this thinking for many years, 10 years or something, until I came to, I heard a lecture of Dhruta Karma Prabhu, he's a scientist devotee. And he said that if you think, first of all, the Vedic knowledge is perfect, is absolute, is coming from the higher source, the right source, from Krishna directly. Whereas the modern science, scientific view, is speculative, and it's produced by people who have four defects. So the Vedic science, the Vedic knowledge, is the higher truth, and the modern scientific knowledge is a lower truth. The Vedic knowledge doesn't have to depend on the scientific theories to prove itself. And this is what my thinking was, that wherever a Vedic knowledge is proved by science, that is for me the real truth. If Vedic view is contradicted by science, then that Vedic view becomes a nice story, which we hear. It's nice to know the story, right? So that was my view. But Dhruta Karma Prabhu said, no, Vedic knowledge is the higher truth, and it doesn't depend on scientific knowledge. In fact, the scientific knowledge depends on the Vedic view. If you hear a scientific theory which is in contradiction to the Vedic knowledge, then that scientific theory has to be rejected. So that is because the knowledge from the Vedas is the real knowledge, is the absolute knowledge. So that is the superior knowledge. And that actually changed my mind. Then I started thinking, I'm initiated, I'm practicing devotee, I'm praying to Prabhupada and all. But actually my faith is in science, not in the Vedic scriptures, not in Prabhupada's words. So that was a good realization. I also heard Sadabhuta Prabhu's class, wherein he says that scientific knowledge is transmitted is through communication. So the scientists perform their experiment and they write it down. Okay? And that is, then everybody reads and follow. Nobody goes back and tries to perform the same experiment. Everybody accepts the knowledge given by the scientist. Whatever experiment they perform, whatever is written down, they accept it. Okay, because there is no time. It is so expensive. It's going to take an entire life if you try to experiment all the experiments in physics and chemistry. Who has the time? So that knowledge is passed down through by written down, the communication. And this is the method of Shabda, sound vibration. When authority like scientists, they write down, that knowledge is acceptable. Nobody can refute that knowledge because it's coming from authority. The scientists have done the experiment, they have the position, and that is why the whole world accepts it. Similarly, the Vedic knowledge is written down by great saintly persons like Vedavyas, who are so purified, and they have done all the they have realized knowledge. It's not that they're doing experiment, they have realized that knowledge and they are writing it down. So just like we accept the theories of scientists because they perform experiment and they write it down, similarly the Vedic knowledge is also very truthful, is absolute, because that knowledge is written down by the sages, the scientists, the spiritual scientists, like Vedavyas and Valmiki Muni. So similarly, why should we discriminate? At one point, we want to accept the scientific theory without we experimenting it. We just take it as authority, that this is whatever scientists say. Then why should we not accept the Vedic knowledge when we know that the personality who is writing it, they are pure and they have no ulterior motives. Whereas scientists, we have doubt. They have four defects and they have other difficulties, other problems. So why should we not accept the Vedic version? So I just wanted to highlight this point about this whole world is under the influence of science, and that becomes a big hurdle for people to accept the Vedic knowledge is absolute truth and to accept the information given. Because as later it is explained, and I'll finish with this point. So Prabhupada says, we should give up our tiny efforts to defy the arrangement of Krishna. Instead, whatever arrangement he proposes, we should accept. That is always better, for this will make us happy. The more we try to defeat the arrangement of Krishna, the more we become implicated in Krishna's maya. But one who has reached the point of surrendering to the instruction of Krishna is liberated, free from Krishna maya. So this is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. How he is like taking the pastime of Lord Brahma and he is relating it to our modern situation of comparing it with how the same thing scientists and philosophers are doing. And he also takes that information to apply it in our life. And how we can learn from this, there is a lesson for us that we should not try to defy the arrangement in our life that Krishna has put. We should not defy it, we should accept it. It's very hard to do that, but it's actually the greatest hope for the humankind, because everything is under Krishna's control and nobody can escape until one takes shelter. So this should give hope for the entire world, how one can become free from this entanglement of this material world. It's only by taking shelter of Krishna. So I'd like to end here. If there is any question.